Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's thoroughly confusing Thursday. It's the 13th day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And I do believe we are joined by one of those sort that do give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 2200-29 and then the pound sign again. That's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 40 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 42 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And I woke up to snow this morning again, John. And so now, I guess, for our weather coast to coast, how are things today out there in Nazi Joyzy, J.D.?
Well, over here in the sunny Bahamas of the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet from above sea level and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean, we currently have, well, Bahamas-like weather. It's actually a little cool out there right now. It is 65 degrees, and the sun did just come out. It was actually very cloudy all morning, so it made it feel every bit down there in the low 60s. But right now, actually feels quite a bit warmer out there, because when you stand in the sun, it feels like 75, 80 degrees, you know, like you're in the Bahamas. And tonight, well, we may get down into the mid-40s. Oh, kind of chilly there. But the rest of the week and going into the weekend, man, we're going to be hitting up into the 80s by Sunday. But lots of sun. So, Henry, you need to come on over to the dirty side.
John, I hope you step in hot, sticky gum on the sidewalk this weekend.
No, I step in a lot of chicken poop.
Chicken. Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have chickens.
Yes, that's they true. Do. And they, you'd be surprised. You know, they leave little golf ball nuggets all over the place.
Oh, yeah. We had chickens when I was a kid. I know about those nasty critters. Anyways.
Anyway, what do we got on the propaganda plate? Because, Henry, it looks like they're pulling back on the war rhetoric here because, man, you would have thought just 2 days ago we were about to have World War III by midnight.
I don't know about pulling back, John. The first article I have here is U.S. drops largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan.
First yeah, but that's Afghanistan. That's a sandbox, a shithole. We've already turned that place back into the Stone Age. That's nothing new. They're just practicing with the Moab over there. Well, you know, the Moab, the mother of all bombs?
The Moab. That's the puppy, man. When they were doing the story, though, it was kind of strange because I'm looking at the box because I'm reading. You know, I don't have the volume turned up, so I'm reading this shit on the screen. And as I'm reading this about this bomb, I look and I'm going, what the hell is that? And I'm looking at the background, what they got playing is Kim Jong-un and all those missiles firing up. I mean, just like, you know, a missile a day keeps the communists away.
Well, if only, Henry.
It depends on who's firing the missile, I suppose.
Oh, I guess. So I guess you're going to want to get into that when we get back because, you know, it's not like we've already turned Afghanistan into a third world shithole that it was before we got there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that and just how long it's been. I mean, I was looking at it, 16 years is a long freaking time, people. 16 years.
Now, we were in World War II. Really, from December of 41, because that's when we were attacked in Pearl Harbor, to 45. So that was 4 years. So we have 4 World War IIs, and we still can't kick the crap out of some supposed sheep herders?
I don't think the idea is to win here, John. Anyway,
I'm starting to agree with you, Henry.
We'll explore that possibility as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, John and I are going back and forth about, you know, it is really just Afghanistan, and hell, we've been there for 16 years, but U.S. drops largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan.
Well, now remember, Henry, Afghanistan is our little opium garden.
I was going to say, I wondered where they dropped such a big bomb, as there can't be too many places that they could drop it where they wouldn't hit a poppy field.
Well, I'm guessing that they dropped it in a place they don't have poppy fields yet, because that's where they want their next poppy field to
that
be.
Would make sense, you know. Actually, it would. The U.S. military has used its GBU-43-B Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb. I guess that's what MOAB stands for. Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb, nicknamed the mother of all bombs, for the first time in combat. The U.S. Air Force used it in Afghanistan to target Islamic State tunnels and personnel. See, what happened is the other day, John, they were going to take out some tunnels in the mountains there. And, what the hell, a Green Beret got killed.
Those be tunnels in Bora Bora?
Well, there's tunners down on the border.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, maybe they would take some of them down there, but I bet they'd quit crawling through them tunnels if they dropped a few of them puppies down through there, huh?
Now, wait a minute. So you're telling me now that the Afghanis, which live in basically a desert environment, are now adopting Vietnamese-style tunneling?
Oh, man, they've always been tunnelers, John. I mean, goddamn, that's what they up in the mountains. That's their strongholds up in those mountains. They got caves all over the place up there, natural caves and shit, and a lot of underground shit they've dug. I think they're part gopher. No comment. I thought we were engaged in something there.
Well, you know, I'm suspecting that this has nothing to do with the, $12 trillion in estimated minerals there?
You know, I was thinking about that, you know, because I know they're defending something over there for 16 frickin' years. And I'm thinking the poppies, and I'm thinking the natural minerals, the contractors over there, you know, they don't like when there's, you know, too much dissent. When they're looting a country, it doesn't look good in the papers. So, you know, this is what you're talking here. Well, let's go on just a little bit here. The 21,000-pound bomb was dropped in the Archin district of the Nangarhar province in eastern Afghanistan. The Pentagon has confirmed the use of the MOAB and is currently assessing damage. General John Nicholson, commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, signed off on its use. And remember, just last week, when they were telling he's going to hand more power over to the regional commanders to just wage war. I mean, no, bad enough, no declaration from Congress to go and, I mean, launch 59, if they did it. I mean, my God, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. 59 missiles into Syria. And, you know, we're going to this. What do they call this? I think they call this escalation. Because now you have, you know, the Russians are no good sons of bitches because they went and refused to condemn Syria for a crime that they haven't been actually convicted of. I mean, there's an accusation on this side, accusation on that side. Of course, what you want is a resolution against Israel's enemy, Syria. That's right. But again, this is what you're seeing here. You know, we've got bases, what, in 190 countries around the world, John?
The last I heard, again, if I've done the counting right, it's something like 181 or 186 when there's only supposedly about 196 countries in the whole world. So there's a few places we're not in, Henry, but very few and far between.
But I think if you're going to bring totalitarianism down on every place across the board, your commanders, I mean, it would be, they would have to have a lot of authority right where they're at in other countries. I mean, you're talking international incidents one after another.
There's, well, I mean, you have an international organization or an international method of the, something that the Czechists would use.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, international red terror. Absolutely. I forgot.
And now think about this. I mean, this is a, first off, it's a massive bomb. 21,000. This is the largest single conventional warhead ever dropped. It is conventional. It's non-nuclear. The daisy cutters that were back in Vietnam, which were considered massive in their time and were the biggest up to that point in time, they were 10,000 pounders. That was a daisy cutter right there. And the reason they call them a daisy cutter is because if you dropped them in a field where there were any daisies, the blast alone would reach out so far that would blow the tops of the daisies clean off. That's supposedly where the term came from, just because of the sheer velocity and the magnitude of the lateral blast that would occur, even if you weren't right near the impact point. So that's where the term daisy cutter supposedly came from. But this thing is more than twice the size, but I guarantee you it's somewhere probably along the 9 or 10 times the expense, because these are incredibly expensive to produce.
Are you saying that somebody might have made some money off this deal?
Oh, I'm saying somebody made a lot of money on that.
Oh, my.
How far will it hit?
Just one.
How far away from the bomb?
I can't. I do. Try it again, Charlie. We missed the beginning. Charlie, I heard him back there say something.
How far away from the bomb will it cut daisies? Like a mile or something? Half mile?
John?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just know supposedly where the phrase came from. I don't know what the, if they're the, you know, I don't know what the actual operating radius of it would be to actually blow the top of a daisy off.
I know they're the ones.
If anyone knows it, it's just kind of the mythology that came up about where the name came from. I don't even know if it's true.
I know it's the one, those are the ones they dropped on Baghdad. You know, to teach them the lesson that using weapons of mass destruction is unacceptable in the international community.
That's why I heard the term, Henry, during Operation Desert Storm, when we were softening Iraq up and we were dropping bombs. A lot of the F-111s and the aircraft that were dropping these bombs were flying directly over us. And so they were talking about, oh, by the way, they gave us forewarning because we were the closest. Some of our units were the closest to the actual bomb points. So they said, look, when you hear these explosions tonight, it's our own ordnance, but tonight they're going to be dropping daisy cutters. And we were told specifically daisy cutters. Mm-hmm. And of course, the whole conversation came up about where did that term came up. But we were in the field. It was just chatter among the men. And supposedly that's where the name came from. But I have no idea if it's true or not.
I've got to believe they'd blow the tops clear off of daisies.
Yeah, especially if it's right near it.
You're damn straight. Where I was headed with, you know, when we were kind of going along there on, down a trail, you know, what we're talking about here with regional commanders out there, you know, we've been in Afghanistan for 16 years, and there's a lot of places we actually have occupied people. Wasn't there civilizations in the far past that, you know, had armies all over the world with independent authority to act for the empires, John?
Well, you had, you know, Rome, of course, would kind of fit that template. But even before Rome, thousands of years before Rome, you had the Persian Empire. You know, the Persian Empire was at, you know, with Rome at its maximum, when it was at its biggest, basically encircling the whole Mediterranean, the Persian Empire, when it was at its biggest, was four times bigger than Rome when it was at its biggest. So the Persian Empire was the biggest empire in human history. And they kind of had the same idea. They basically gave a lot of autonomy to the local commanders to enforce the dictates of the central command structure, which was actually over there in Iran, the Persians.
Yeah, but the pretense. Oh, we just have an air base there. You know, this is empire building. This is an empire, the largest one to ever exist on the planet, if you think about it.
Henry, we are extracting tribute from them.
Oh, absolutely. At the same time that we're also giving, you know, it's got like this international welfare system going. I mean, it is, for the empire. I mean, this is what you're talking about. I would say Israel's up, but they're the ones that are driving the thing. We get the crumbs from their table that are our crumbs.
We'll steal $100 worth of value from any of these countries, and we'll give back 10 cents in the form of some kind of foreign aid.
Depending on obedience, of course.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
I owe you some money. I got my crumbs today, my first Social Security check.
Oh, goddamn.
$1,720. They said it'd come on the 15th, but it came on the 12th.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Charlie.
Yeah, I got my crumbs.
Oh, yeah, you did. You got a whole...
I hadn't seen that kind of money in 10 years.
That's a big crumb, huh? Yeah, exactly. I'm happy for you, brother.
Imagine what Charlie would have had if the wealth wasn't stolen from him to begin with to actually give him this check later on in life.
Hey, let me say this.
I would give that check up.
You take if all the money they took from you, if it would have been set in an account at all these years, and you could just have it in one lump, man. Tell me you wouldn't rather have it that way.
I'm saying even now, just let me out of the system and keep what I earn. I don't want any of it. I just hate the fucking system.
I don't blame you. You're right, brother. I have to agree with that. I have to agree with it. Can find nothing wrong with what you said. Anyways, we were empire building. What they're trying to do, what the whole New World Order thing is about, is centralizing authority and command. And I mean, what we're seeing with China, like we were talking yesterday, going over, and they're going to get Korea. They're putting these places into zones. I mean, I got to believe the South Koreans, they're all Koreans, is what people better understand. And when China comes across that border and starts invading South Korea, the whole idea of that fight there was supposedly. Back when the United States was over there letting our people get slaughtered in Korea, fighting the North Koreans, was to stop the spread of international communism, which even at the time everybody understood communism. I mean, that was even in the middle of it, the industrial or the cultural revolution over there in China. I mean, where they killed 200 million people. And so, I mean, it was understood that China and Russia, they were this big communist goddamn threat that we were actually supposed to be over there fighting. And, of course, the story is MacArthur wanted to go. He was already into China, mainland China, and wanted to take China. And that's why he was called back and dismissed from duty. But then now you're going to have China right down there on the South Korean border. Here is this where the East meets the West, or where the communism meets what's supposed to be that free democracy was just as communism under another name. But the bottom line here is, I think this is they have to implement the New World Order. That's what this is all about. And to do that, they have to have their zones under single command with an authority. Now you look at, I mean, even over here where we're at, there's going to be a problem when they go to enact this. What do you think? It's going to be a war. We're going to have to kill them out of here. But you look at what they've done here. You've got Chinese banks here. You've got Chinese industry here. You've got Chinese young people of fighting age here by the tens and hundreds of thousands. Enough for an army that's already been trained. I mean, you look at what Trump, what they're doing here is they're just going, well, I guess we didn't fool them. We better hurry up and get this shit done. We better hurry up and get everything plugged in and we got to go for it. There ain't no messing around. Trump was a good thing for them, but I mean, it just fell apart so fast. And people have just backed away. I mean, even the stupid people that went for it. They were looking at him, man. Because everybody was calling them a bunch of goddamn traitors, which they were, for buying into it again, for, going out and voting in a fraudulent foreign election. That's treason. And these people are like, wow, man, this son of a bitch better perform. And now they're looking at, I heard Alex Jones, God, John, I wish I had it to play it for you. I mean, defending this shit. I mean, I got another article here. Not that one. Damn it, must have it right in the very... Trump flips on five core campaign promises under 24 hours. we predicted that I thought it would be like the legislation that they would be, well, they have, you know, the removing like the EPA regulations and approving the Keystone Pipeline. Man, that was a hell of a process they went through there, wasn't it? When it was denied, you'd think you'd have to reapply and there'd be some kind of process. No, the dictator just came right up and started, putting out the executive orders. That was the bum's rush. And even the stuff that needed to go through Congress, what the hell am I trying to, like the Dakota Pipeline, removing the regulations, passing the laws that made it easy for them to remove regulations. All of this shit that was for the filthy rich, including the goddamn gangsters that are running the show. Man, it did happen fast. But I was looking for other things, and now, man, I'm telling you, they've almost dismissed the idea. I mean, every move that Trump would make, they were putting the fillers out. And, you'd hear this stuff, and then there'd be a reaction, and he'd change what he said. And there was rumors he said this and rumors he said that. I think the gig's up. I think people have that son of a bitch figured out. You got the hardcore, retarded, institutionalized people who are more a part of it than not, calling themselves patriots.
Well, those like are the harder thinking.
There you go, like Alex Jones. I mean, coming up and trying to defend this and some, I mean, even the bombs, John, now he was, the other day at least, he was like, well, launch it. No, you can't do that. Oh, he had to do that to establish that he ain't going to be pushed, that, he's in charge kind of shit. And then, he's going back and forth on this shit and he gets a caller in that suggests that maybe Trump's been threatened. Oh yeah, that's it. I mean, this son of a bitch, you talk about running cover. You talk about a Zionist Jew shill piece of propaganda shit. That's Alex Jones. And I think he knows the gig's up too. I mean, he comes up, listen to this shit. He says, we're defying these communists, these anti-God people, and the communists are, attacking, he's Judeo-Christian, dirty church, but he says, we're defying them. We're celebrating Easter. And I'm waiting for this, with a sale. He's going to give you a special price on shit for Easter, and it's for God, and he's defying them.
Jesus used those products.
There you go. I thought that was quite hilarious.
Just before they nailed him to the cross as they were dragging Jesus up there, he was asking about that stuff. He wanted to make sure that the sales were going good for all the products that Alex Jones just happens to be selling.
I think they're selling InfoWars Briar hats. The Pentagon has confirmed the use of the Moab and is currently, General John Nicholson, of course, he did. The Air Force developed it. The use of the bomb comes as the United States involvement in Afghanistan heads into its 16th year. This is so much this is bullshit beyond unbelievable bullshit.
Now, wait a minute, Henry. Let's go back one second right here. World War II, I mean, we had very, our military technology was still fairly simplistic in World War II by today's standards. And yet we were able to lick what was definitely one of the best, most disciplined, best equipped armies and militaries in the world, which was, of course, Nazi Germany. And again, they didn't call themselves Nazis, but we'll use it as an acronym here for our shorthand. And they were very well disciplined, well trained, well organized, of comparable equipment. Army that were, and they were around the world. They had their spies over there in South America, in Mexico. They had spies right here in America. They had their army forces spread throughout all of Europe, going into Russia. They went into Russia, and yet we managed to whip them in only 4 years, and we can't whip some sheepherders because why?
Well, John, not to mention simultaneously, we were over in the South Pacific. Engaging the Japanese, who though they lost the war, but you talk about a logistics nightmare fighting island to island to capture airfields, and admittedly they were beat, and that that they wanted to surrender, but we had to practice with the atomic bomb. But man, like you said, 4 years, dude.
4 years. We didn't whip one, but two. Yeah. Highly determined, highly trained, highly capable armies on opposite sides of each ocean on each side of our country, and we did that in only 4 years.
And both of them in it for everything. I mean, win or lose. I mean, you were losing your goddamn country. This wasn't this political bullshit where we're going to call you the winner this week and us next week because everybody gets a prize because we don't want nobody to feel left out. Go ahead, Flea.
JD, I was just saying where you were talking about Nazi. I mean, if you travel to Europe, you see that word written everywhere. It just means national, N-A-Z-I. It's everywhere written. I mean, it's only in this country is that some four-letter word, but over there it's written everywhere.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And the bottom, I mean, this country has been put into an alternate reality. They have spent our resources. We are the richest planet on, I mean, richest country on planet Earth. So they have taken this awesome resource that we can't even imagine because it's been stolen from us, and we've been led to think that we should be living these poor-ass lives that we are, working our asses off from dusk till dawn for a roof over our head, heat, and food, like a goddamn slave in our own country. And they convince you that you know, that from the time you're a little kid, your pride's going to be, I worked all week and I paid my taxes. I'm an American. That's what it means to be an American. As your money's being used to rob people out around the country, you know, financing an international military that is a running violation of your founding documents. You know, the propaganda. Nazi's bad. I mean, wasn't that many. When I was young, I'll tell you what, if I had belt buckles, I think, at one time with swastikas on them and stuff. And it was just a fashion statement, I think. I mean, I liked to watch the wars movies when I was a kid, but. You know, it's like everything else. It's the political correct agenda. It is the Jews. It is the manipulation of the mind. They have think tanks sitting around, you know, that this is all these assholes do. How can we manipulate the most people? And where do we meet the least resistance? Where can we apply more pressure and get a positive result for our agenda? You know, people don't understand the mechanism they are up against. These people... I mean, it is a war with us, just like it, what John was talking about with the Japanese and the Germans, with our people and these occupiers, because it is all or nothing. Either we're going to get this country back, or we'll kneel down by that ditch and get a fucking bullet in our head, because that is their intent. That is their absolute intent. So either we're going to allow that intent, or we're going to have an intent of our own, and we're going to take these bastards out and take our country back.
Well, no, but wait, Henry. If they had that intent, if they really had an intent to exterminate us at some point, they would have to be making preparations for it. You know,
they
like
would.
Building up a police state, a surveillance state, watching in everything we do, listening on everything we say, and buying lots of ammo, like 40 caliber hollow points by the billions. And oh, wait, they did do all that.
They did, John. That's where I'm getting this feeling from, that they might just want to exterminate our asses. Anyways, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious. Divergent Flavor Labs, handmade all-original flavor line, will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
From that mouth.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chilliquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1240 Pacific Time. And of course, this is Kid Rock with Born Free, Die Free. Anyway, you know, to conclude on this daisy, or this, no, well, it ain't a daisy, it's a Moab, this monster bomb. No doubt it was dropped, you know, on caves up in the mountains. You know, if there was collateral damage, if there was some people, you know, running goats in the hills and they got blew up, oh, yeah. You know, you may hear about it later, but, you know, no big deal. But, you know, no doubt Afghans, roadside bombs over there, you know, where they're running the convoys to Afghanistan, they have what they call over there rare earth minerals. And I got to believe that the contractors over there are just hauling their resources away as fast as they can take them out. And no doubt these Afghans are hitting them the only way they can on the roads coming through with the convoys that are being guarded by the United States military, just as sure as the United States military guarded the miners taking the gold out of the Black Hills when they come to rob the American Indians. You know, nothing changes. It all stays the same, and it's all about the pursuit of that mountain of wealth that you, I don't know, maybe you get it tall enough, you can jump off it and kill yourself. I don't know. Anyways, let's see what we got here. U.S. Oh, I like this one, John. I don't know if you've read this one yet. U.S.-led coalition accidentally bombs Syrian allies, killing 18.
Yeah, Henry, it was an accident. It was a tragic accident.
Oh, I love the way this thing goes into bizarro world and out into the cosmos and tries to bring it all back in some kind of logical sense, and it completely fails. U.S.-led aircraft accidentally, or anyway, this is from the Washington Post. It was sent in by Angel for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. U.S.-led aircraft accidentally bombed friendly Syrian forces. Friendly Syrian forces fighting the Islamic State. So these guys are fighting ISIS. And I'm trying to keep this straight because, like I said, this goes out into the Neverworlds and comes back. In northern Syria on Tuesday, killing 18, the Pentagon said Thursday. The April 11 bombing marks the worst confirmed friendly fire incident in the nearly three-year-old war against the terrorist group. The U.S.-led coalition said in a statement that the airstrike was requested by, quote, partnered forces. Was that ISIS? Who is our partners over there, John? I'm confused.
Well, we have a special friendship with Israel, but I don't think they were talking about them. I think they were talking about their proxies called the ISIS, the ISIL, the Tech Fairies, the Al-Nusra Front, and, of course, the terrorist group formerly known as IS.
Well, thank you, John. I'm even more confused. Partner forces. So wait a minute. I'm trying to understand this now. They now a friendly fire incident. So they bombed friendly Syrian forces fighting the Islamic State. Let's stop there. Now somebody called in a bomb strike to hit these guys, and they would have been the partnered forces. So let's see, who were these guys fighting? Let's see, Syrian fighting Islamic IS. So ISIS called in an airstrike from the United States coalition. You know, their air force that we don't have over there. And something went, well, I guess they hit what they were supposed to, but it was actually the people were, I don't understand it, man, I'm telling you. Near the town of Tapqua, who accidentally targeted a group of Kurdish and Arab fighters known as the Syrian Democratic Forces, or SDF. The partnered forces believed that the SDF's position belonged to the Islamic State. Wonder why they would believe that.
No, and Henry, people got to understand that when they go on these bombing runs, when the planes actually drop the bombs or they launch drones or they launch Tomahawk cruise missiles, there is a very lengthy and multi-level approval process that these target approvals go through, on top of the fact that they are not just simply listed as possible targets on speculation. That is, there is an intelligence gathering operation. The prospective targets are then double checked to make sure, to verify that they are legitimate targets. Then they are triple checked to still ensure that they're still there. If there has been any length of time from the time the initial target's position was known to the time of the bombing approval. So there is a multiple layer here that occurs of approval processes, checking, double checking, rechecking, verifying. It's almost impossible for something like this to occur by any accident whatsoever. In fact, it's nearly impossible. Anytime a bomb is dropped on a specific location, it's because it was specifically ordered.
Let me try to bring this down to a layman's level. So what you're saying, somewhere down the line, somebody has a map, and it says good guys, bad guys, and has all the areas marked out. And if you wanted to call in a strike on the good guys, they would see that and say, no, that's good guys, right?
Yeah, Ben, pretty much. Well, you know, I actually knew an Air Force officer when he served over in Kosovo, the K-4, and they call it the conflict, you know, over in Yugoslavia. And he was actually the area commander. He was the guy who actually logged out. That is, he actually assigned bombing targets to the different squadrons, and the squadron commanders would typically assign the pilots to specific targets. But he was the guy who actually got the lists from the Pentagon. Each day he got updated lists on what were approved targets. It doesn't mean they were going to bomb them, but they had a list of what they call approved targets, their location, what they were, why they were approved, and then, of course, he would have to verify that these targets were still there and so forth. And then, of course, he would portion out the list based on the priorities of operation for that day. And so he actually explained it. It's actually a fairly lengthy process. What I'm getting at here is that doesn't change because we're not in Kosovo anymore. This is the normal procedure because this is what's used in the American military.
Wow. I got to wonder, you know, how would it be if, you know, if some of these guys run into an ambush, boom, boom, they're shooting it out, and these guys, they call in, we need an airstrike, we need it now, and they check it all out, and they come in, shh, boom, and they come in, and they go over there, and they look at all the dead bodies, and there's American advisors, American soldiers, and just, oops, with the ISIS, you know, that they were leading in the battle. I think that, you know, something like that would make that would be a friendly fire incident. Just
right. Now,
pure
again,
confusion.
Friendly fire incidences do occur, but usually that's because of a misidentification by the pilot, or the coordinates were sometimes transmitted. They do what's called a transpose error. Say the coordinate was 541, 830, and instead of the 830, someone wrote 803. That kind of crap has happened.
I understand that, but you listen to this now. Near the town of Tapqua, who accidentally targeted a group of Kurdish and Arab fighters known as the Syrian Democratic Forces. The partnered forces believed that the SDF's position, so they just said, we think they're over there, so bomb this, or they were engaged and asked for, air cover. You see what I'm saying? I mean, they said that they thought that position belonged to those guys. Why were they, why were they at that position? Were they engaged there? Or were they, did they just got some intelligence and said, we think that there might be some guys over here, go bomb that? This is bullshit. What it is our ISIS forces on the ground with our U.S. advisors, you know, they got under attack by some more of the ones we're supposed to be supporting over there. They're supposed to be fighting ISIS, but they're really fighting the Syrian army, trying to overthrow the regime of Assad. And, it was no confusion. It's just these guys are fixing to kill us. We're the American advisor sending some jets. Boom, 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 shoot them up.
Well, now that makes sense, Henry. What you said when you tried to explain their position, how it could have occurred as a mistake, that made no sense. But as soon as you explained it in the terms of what would probably happen, that makes total sense for some reason.
That's what I'm thinking here. I mean, but what I'm saying here when we're talking about escalation, because, I'm seeing these bombs are every other thing that comes on is a missile going up and shit going this way, flashing ping pong balls face and talking about, flashing the Chinese premier's face, Xi or whatever the hell his name is. I mean, I think they're gearing up for something here, John. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but, man, I'm telling you, I know
it. Don't forget, Henry, we're coming up to our budget limit here. And, of course, there's some of this chit-chat about is the government going to shut down? Are we going to declare bankruptcy? Are we going to default on bonds? Now, remember, from the point of view of bankruptcy, It is physically impossible for this country to go bankrupt because we have a fraudulent system called fiat currency, the Federal Reserve note. It's pure fraud, and you can never, ever run out of fraud. So the notion that we're going to run out of money is bullcrap. We control the printing press. We control the computers that make the digits that get entered into an account somewhere that says we have lots of money. It is mathematically impossible to run out of fraud. But that doesn't mean they're not going to play it because they want to crash the economy and get this war going.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, the war has been orchestrated for the butcher of the people. There's no, they've master of the deals went out there and they've made deals internationally. Who's going to get what? But you know, the people, them goddamn places are littered with them people all over the place and in the way. The people, and we have the Georgia Guidestones. We're supposed to be bringing this goddamn world population down, and there ain't nothing like a good blood sacrifice. So, I mean, I think they make the deals and they've already decided who's going to get what, who's going to take a fall, who's going to, you know, who's going to betray their own people to be set up in, in luxury for the rest of their days while they're supposed to be dead.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Not a problem. Anyway, and, you know, and it's just coming together. I mean, so many things from so many different angles, like that we were talking earlier. Trump flips on 5 core campaign promises in under 24 hours. Whoa, didn't see that one coming.
Well, look at old Hillary Clinton. She used to flip on a given position 5 times in 10 minutes.
Oh, hell yeah. And, you know, Alex Trump comes out, and the first thing is all over, and he's going to prosecute Hillary. And he plays this goddamn clip where they're talking about him, and all he did was say that, well, he, you know, Comey didn't prosecute her, even though he knew she was guilty. So that, I mean, this, and he turns this in. I mean, he's trying to spin this. You talk about a goddamn agent. Now that, well, he's
I mean,
an agent.
Notice how Alex Zionist Jones didn't talk about the fact that old Donald Trump prosecuted Hillary Clinton. He can't even fire James Comey.
No, he can't. And that's what they're trying to veer your attention away from. Is the hard shit that's right in your face that you can't deny. Like, don't go, I mean, like, he thinks he's, I don't know, maybe he thinks he's a spin doctor now. But he hits the core issue. You know, I know a lot of people talk about this, right, like this, and then he tries to give a bullshit, open subject matter narrative of what this really could mean instead of what it obviously frickin' means. It means that Donald Trump was put there by international Zionism. And he's picking up the agenda. I mean, didn't we call that them missiles, they were going to be getting their love missiles with Trumpy in office?
I think Henry, if Trump was actually supporting international Zionism, we might see something like Trump kissing Israel's ass. I'm sorry, he does kiss Israel's ass.
Yeah, you'd see something like, you know, like his own family ties into the Israeli government. Well, wait a minute. What, Jared, I think we done seen that. I mean, this is so, I mean, but the way they're playing it from this far off is to keep your eyes off of the prize, man. To keep your eyes off the head of the snake, Israel. And you know, you talk about North Korea. What kind of deal would Israel be working on an international level at a time? And then all of a sudden there's a chemical incident right when Assad is getting ready to take the country back for the Syrian people and run ISIS out. And stop this whole Islamic takeover of the goddamn Middle East by these extremists of Muslim Brotherhood. Because I guarantee you that's who the new government's going to be, because that's who it was in Egypt, Libya. And, I mean, this is the plan, people.
Now, wait a minute. If peace – let's just speculate one step further. Let's just say instead of the chemical attack occurring on the eve of that peace conference – that the peace conference happened, and in fact, it was declared that they've captured most of the country. They've got a few pools left of these mercenaries that have been infiltrated in the country, but they want to make sure that the country is given back to the Syrian people, and that the political system is in fact stable, along with their economic system, their monetary system. That would indicate, of course, that this is a whole nation, not a nation on the verge of, say, breaking apart, which would, of course, play to Israel's favor.
Yeah, not to mention that if the United States stance would have been hands off, leave it alone, then Israel couldn't be flying their Saudis into Syria and bombing their facilities and striking in coalition with ISIS, their employees down there, and then flying back over the border with the big attack dog, the United States, right there. We're doing this under no authority. It's invasion, but you try and shoot us, and they'll come in. We'll bring the United States over here and walk right through Syria, and then we're going to Lebanon, and then we're going to Jordan, and then you know what, Iran. We're coming for you. This is what John calls the gambit. This is the frickin' gambit, people. Whether they would give you a sideshow over there in Korea so that the Chinese stay out of it. You know, because does Russia want to take on the United States without the Chinese? I mean, it's just like John McCain comes there. Russia can be defeated. No, they fucking can't. They got enough nuclear arsenal to blow this planet up. You don't take Russia and you don't take the United States. That's why they don't want people to have nuclear bombs, because then you can't just enslave them, because that's what it's come down to. That's the biggest gun now. And if you don't have the big gun, I guess somebody with the big gun can enslave your ass. But this, like I said, I think this deal's been made that, China's going to get all of Korea. Because once it comes down to the northern border, I got to believe that the South Koreans are going to, if they're going to try and defend what they have, they'd have to attack, wouldn't they? And then we're kind of backed out of it. Well, they're doing it for the, kind of this diplomatic thing, like China walks in and takes over and then, ooh, it's a done deal. There's the Asia Pacific zone taken care of.
And now remember, Henry, if North Korea was, let's just say North Korea, we invaded it, the North Korean regime collapses, given back to South Korea, because of course it's not ours, that would mean that there would be no DMZ zone there, and we would have no reason to maintain the 60,000 plus military personnel right there in Southeast Asia, which is a strategic location, because it has water ports on both sides of the DMZ. And remember, it's the ability to move logistics via ship that's important, not by air. Air travel is important. It gives you speed. But to move massive amount of logistics, you need seaports. You need access to the sea. And that's what the DMZ does.
You goddamn right. And not to mention, if it came the other way, if Russia took Korea, or at least North Korea, then the South Koreans are sitting there with, you talk about competition for your labor right there. And China's right up against your goddamn border. And hey, it's all right, because they're the good guys. They went in there and took out that bad guy. And you're just going to have to live with it. Here's your new overlords. And I think in America, we're going to get a plethora of different overlords that speak different languages. I think that's what's planned for us. To divide the country apart like that, with different zones, with different international groups in charge of different zones, like UN zones.
Well, Henry, I think if they really want to push this war potential, this war gambit, this war fever that it looks like they're trying to create, we really need a false flag here. We're going to need a big one. We're going to need cyber attacks on our power grid, on the banking system computers, on the Wall Street stock trading computers. Of course, we'll blame that on Russia, or maybe we'll blame it on China, or maybe North Korea, because supposedly they have an advanced cyber arm now. And then, of course, well, maybe a little chemical weapon attacks here, or a biological weapons attack here. That would be great. That would really get that war fever going.
Don't forget Iran. Iran's a part of the Axis of Evil.
Oh, that's right. Yes, 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 yes. Because, they make an evil, evil Persian rug.
Then we'll destroy all of our enemies for our Zionist masters. And no one will challenge them ever again, because they're our most important ally. We're going to roll across.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
You're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this thoroughly confusing Thursday, the 13th day of April 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. That means it's time for the Tactical Report with J.D., U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. Continuing on with our station identification, you are listening to the Tactical Report with me, your host for that, John D., U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny, and today is April 13th, 2017, and it is 3:59 Eastern Time. The Tactical Report is, of course, part of the Word from the Trenches, and we are broadcast on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Also, simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online, our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice Ebola, anthrax, measles, leaving, flu, medicine, respiratory syndrome, severe respiratory syndrome, Ebola, cold, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaires' disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever, and of course, the latest and greatest Zionist Jew communist media darling, a Zika free lady, will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 22-00-29 and the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the Tactical Report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit *6 to manually unmute. All right, let's get going here. Now, remember, I mentioned all these diseases because, remember, they ran that gambit on us all within the last 2 years. Each and every one of those was run on its own gambit. In fact, remember I mentioned yesterday, remember what sparked the Ebola outbreak? Remember that? It was that, what was it? Think about it. I'm going to make a noise like I've got a really hard turd that won't come out. But it's really just a thought that won't come out. What the hell? The CIA torture report. Do you remember that? Because apparently there were felonies committed. In fact, not just felonies, but in fact, something that could be called murder. Because these guys didn't just torture some of these people. They actually ended up killing some of them. Because they would push them to what's called the terminal phase. And that's a nice little CIA phrase. It actually comes out of, they got a handbook on this, believe it or not. The CIA has a handbook on how to torture people right to the brink of death. Well, of course, the problem is when you bring someone right to the brink of death, sometimes you push them over that brink, not even meaning to, but you intended to bring them to the brink of death, and they did, and sometimes, oops, he died or she died. And the CIA was guilty of those crimes by the thousands. In fact, by some estimates, by the tens of thousands. In fact, they did them in little places called Extraordinary Rendition Sites, black sites. Remember that? And there was videotapes of it, and there was records of it, and some of that got incorporated into a special report called the CIA Torture Report, and they were going to be punished for those crimes, right? Remember all that? And then, we've got an Ebola outbreak, people. Forget about the CIA. This is important. Because this is real comical distraction. You're supposed to believe this garbage about a sudden Ebola outbreak over there in Africa. And you're supposed to be concerned about it here. Forget about the CIA. Forget about the felonies they committed, the murders they committed. No, you're going to be worried about a little outbreak of a pathogen over there in Africa. Oh, but wait, it got out of the town and it's now going from house to house, county to county, country to country, and oh, it's going continent to continent, people. Does any of that sound familiar? Because that was the bullshit line they ran on us, remember? And in fact, when Ebola wouldn't come to this continent, what did they do? Do you remember this now? Because once we started questioning this Ebola outbreak, and I remember my favorite, one of the pieces of video, you would see guys, people talking about it over there in Africa, but strange how they just didn't seem to have any video of it or even any good still pictures of it, even though every one of them over there carries cell phones. Remember that? Well, what happened when the Ebola outbreak didn't get here to America? Oh, that's right. We started talking about the CIA torture report, so then they flew some people into this country who supposedly had Ebola. Remember that? And then they even show the one picture. They bring this guy out, and he's on a gurney, and it looks like a biosafety level, a BSL-3 transportation unit, you know, had the clear vinyl, and he was all encapsulated, and he had his own air supply and everything. And then, of course, just 5 feet away, 7 feet away, was a reporter standing there in his everyday clothes taking pictures of this, because, of course, he wasn't in danger. Remember all that nonsense? That's right. It was nonsense. So never put it past them to try and run nonsense by us because, well, that's what they've been doing for the last 100 years. They've just gotten more extravagant in the kind of nonsense they're presenting. I mention that because they will be getting back to this, people, because as these narratives fall apart, remember what happens. Time to fire up the propaganda merry-go-round to go with the next gambit, which is one of the old gambits they've already run. But they haven't done it in a little while. It's been a while since they've done the epidemic or the pandemic gambit. So I'm sure, I know, it's going to be coming around real soon, people. In fact, I'm amazed it's gone this long without it. And I attribute the longevity of not seeing them use the pandemic gambit for several months now due to the Trump effect. I mention that only so when you see the next outbreak that's been created up in one of these think tanks? Don't be surprised. We told you it was coming. What else is coming? Oh, yeah, our FDTPSA, From the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And this is where we discuss one simple little fact. There is no country called Israel. It's a terrorist organization, period. How do you spell terrorism? Z-I-O-N-I-S-M. That's terrorism. That's how you spell terrorism. Zionism. Z-I-O-N-I-S-M. Or you can spell it I-S, ooh, you know, like from Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L. That's also how you spell terrorism, because that's what Zionism, that's what Israel is. It is terrorism. There is no country called Israel. It's called Palestine. Unless, of course, you work for the Coca-Cola company, who put out a map one day and just simply declared, because they were Coca-Cola, that, you know, the new capital of Israel was Jerusalem. Remember that? So I guess if you're a big, strong sugar water company, you can determine where the people's national boundaries are. Let's get moving here. We mentioned the fact that let's get going with our Bill of Rights and U.S. Constitution segment. Now, let's take a quick reminder here. We're going to do a short one here because people forget about this. Now, remember, the Constitution is one of our foundational documents, one of our founding documents. It was adopted September 17th, 1787. September 17th, 1787. It then became ratified. That means they voted on it, and of course, it passed the vote. It passed muster there. On June 21st, 1788. So, you know, that's not even a year later. It's almost a year later. It's like 9 months, but it wasn't even a full year. From the time it was adopted, that is, the resolution to create the Constitution is adopted. And then, of course, they go through some of the backroom horse trading, swap some spit and so forth. And then they voted on it, and it became ratified, that is, accepted, on June 21st, 1788. It then became effective, because what's interesting is, even though it was ratified on June 21st, 1788, it didn't become law of the land immediately. I always thought this was kind of interesting. I'm not sure why this is. I would have to do a little research into this, I guess, because I've never really looked into this question. But if it was ratified on June 21st, 1788, well, why didn't it become effective on June 22nd, or even, say, by June 30th? Why did it have to go several months before it became effective? That I'm not sure. I've never really seen any arguments or commentary offered on that, but it is an interesting question. But it did become effective, and that occurred on March 4th, 1789. So you see, that's the date. That was the date we effectively became, that is, by definition, legally became this limited form of Republican, a republic, a limited form of a republic or limited form of representation, a representative government called a republic. And that was effective on March 4th, 1789. And that is where the Constitution of the United States became our supreme law of the land, supposedly legally binding in all aspects as of that date. Meaning it superseded whatever it was that these founding fathers, the ruling class, whatever it is they were doing, whatever rules they were operating by, ceased to be on March 3rd at midnight. And supposedly, if I'm reading this right, on March 4th, this is when the Constitution became the new set of rules about how this government was supposed to run. And we call that the Constitution of the United States. And what is the Constitution? Well, it's our rule book, our owner's operator's manual for what we call a limited form of representative government, which is called a republic. Now, what's interesting is you hear these people, and it does grate my nerves when you hear them talk about this great democracy. Oh, we're a democracy. The democracy is under threat. Here's the problem, people. Since ideally, well, the bullshit line is the Constitution still in effect. No, it's not. We have an enemy force in occupation. We're under occupation. But let's just go with the bullshit line for a moment that the Constitution's still in effect, which means from this date, March 4th, 1789, when the U.S. Constitution became the legally required operating rules for what we call our government, since that day, we have been a republic, period, bar none. Well, what happened prior to March 4th? Well, prior to March 4th, we were not a democracy. In fact, we were operating under the Articles of Confederation. What was that under? Well, those were an extension of the rules of monarchy. We were operating under the supposed legal authority of British rule. Remember, the rule, Articles of Confederation were supposedly approved by the king in England because we were an English colony. So it was an extension of the monarchical system. We were a monarchy. We were not a democracy. Well, what about when pilgrims first came here and we didn't even have the Articles of Confederation yet? Well, at that point, they were simply colonies that were here. In fact, a lot of them were done on behalf of corporations. But they still weren't a democracy. Well, what about when the very first English explorer, the very first English settlement, which if I remember right was Jamestown, well, that was operating under English rule. It was an extension of it because remember, these were English subjects. So it still wasn't a democracy. And what about, well, before we got here? Well, you had the American Indians. Were they a democracy? No, of course not. We were never, ever, as far as I can tell, a democracy on this continent at any point in time, period. It's not like we are a democracy now. No, we're not. If we are operating under the fraudulent idea that we still have the Constitution in effect to some degree, it requires that we recall what it is, which is a republic. If we recognize we're under an enemy force and occupation, then we recognize we're under despotism. That's not democracy. If you go back to prior to the Constitution becoming effective law of the land, well, then you were under the rules of monarchy. And before the English even got here, you had the American Indians. They certainly weren't a democracy. So there is no point that I can find where any peoples living here on the North American continent, and I'm not talking about Canada, forget Canada for the moment, just from the Canadian border to what we call the Texas border. Anything in between there. Let's just stick to our own geographic limits here. There is no point that I can find at any point in history when we were a democracy. None. Zero. Zip. So to say that we're a democracy now is not just an egregious act of stupidity and ignorance, but it shows that these people know absolutely zero about our own history, about the history of the continent, because it doesn't just apply to us as a people, but it applies to the people that lived here before we, the modern form of the English colonies, even got here. You had the American Indians living here. You had Pueblo Indians living here. Before them, you had dinosaurs living here. And at no point under any of the peoples that lived here was it ever a democracy. Ever. That's how insulting that phrase is when somebody uses it. They are telling you how stupid and ignorant they are of even the most simplest and obvious of history. So how could you possibly expect someone like that to know anything about the complexities of history? All right, let's get moving. We did our segment. That was the Constitution segment. So let's get moving with a couple of interesting articles. I like this. Oh, now here comes the propaganda, people. Oh, this is a propaganda alert. Put on your Mickey Mouse ears if you have them. Oh, and I would say strap, put your seatbelt on because we're ready to take off. But, you know, that's when the flight stewardesses might come over and beat your ass to drag you out of that chair. Over in RT, Russia Today. And I love how I didn't see this in the American news. Maybe it was. I just didn't see it. FBI hopes TV series will make Americans believe. And the word believe is in quotation marks. TV series will make Americans believe an agency again. Oh, there you go, people. That's why you're going to believe in the FBI. Because we got the effing Zionist Jew run Hollywood about to give you a theatrical production version of what the FBI does. And that's going to make you believe in them, people, because you got to believe. Remember about the diseases? That when people stop believing in them, they seem to go away, which came from Disneyland's Peter Pan with Tinkerbell. When the kids stopped believing in Tinkerbell, well, she started dying. Remember that? Well, it's the FBI. It looks like it's the same thing, people. You got to believe in the FBI. You got to. Oh, they're going to die. They're going to go away. If only. Let's see what this says. FBI Director James Comey said he allowed a film crew into the agency's Newark offices for a new TV series in the hope it might rebuild trust with the American people. Well, I'll tell you what. If there's any American people that trusts anything about the FBI, you then have a poster child for what constitutes an official effing idiot. The FBI chief said he believed that Americans were confused about the Bureau's actions over the past year, particularly around the 2016 election. You know, when James Comey got up there, told the world, not just America, but told the world, yeah, Hillary Clinton committed crime, sedition, treason, but no reasonable prosecutor would charge her. Yeah, we were confused about that, people. Like which bathroom to use. We're just all confused. The FBI chief said he believed that Americans were confused. We did a lot last year that confused people because they were seeing the world through sides. Did you go through a side, people? Did you look through a side? I don't even know what a side looks like. How do you look through one? Because that's apparently what we were looking through was a side. That's what it says, people. I'm not making this up. Quote, we did a lot last year that confused people because they were seeing the world through sides. S-I-D-E-S, sides. We saw the world through sides. Oh, my God, where is my board of wisdom? I need my 2x8 so I can whack myself in the head with it extra hard so I can see if I can understand what old James Comey here is talking about. And he goes on to say, we didn't see the world that way. We are not on anybody's side. We really don't care. We're trying to figure out what's true, what's fair, what's the right thing to do. That's what Comey had to say. Now, I think the right thing to do would be first off to arrest James Comey, you know, for treason, charge him, convict him, and then hang him publicly. Well, that's the right thing to do. Charge Hillary Clinton for treason, sedition, keeping classified emails on a personal server, for starters. And then, of course, there's always that little pesky, annoying thing called the Clinton Foundation. Yeah. How about arresting her, charging her, convicting her, and, well, hanging her publicly? That would be the right thing to do. How about Eric Holder? I mean, he did send guns down there to the Mexican drug cartels, which did get used to kill American agents. And as far as I know, well, he's still getting a paycheck. How about arresting him, trying him, convicting him for treason, and, well, publicly hanging him? That would be the right thing to do. Apparently, the only one who's confused here is James Comey about what constitutes indictable and chargeable crimes, especially of treason, that people should be hanging for. And that includes James Comey. The series, which is called Inside the FBI, New York. See, that's what gives it legitimacy, people. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? Kind of. Now, for the men, I'm going to be talking to the men here for just a second. It's kind of like when you just look at that gorgeous girl. You know, every guy has their own definition of what constitutes a gorgeous girl. I mean, a lot of guys will agree that a girl's good looking, but almost every guy has their own specific definition of what constitutes a gorgeous girl. Some guys like blonde, some guys like brunettes, some guys like girls with long hair, some don't mind short hair, some guys like girls with very large breasts, some prefer medium size, you know, and so on and so on. Every guy has their own version of what looks gorgeous. Well, did you just feel that? Did you get that same feeling right now when I just said that? Inside the FBI, New York. Yeah, because that's the way you're supposed to feel. And you women. Now, this is for the women out there. Women are the same way when it comes to what kind of guy they prefer. Now, of course, they tend to also pick personality traits. That tends to be some of their requirements, the characteristics that draws them to the man. But women have physical features that they find are very attractive, more so than others. Some women like very muscular men. Some women think that too much muscle is no good. Some women prefer men with blonde hair. Some women prefer men with dark hair, and so on and so on. Some women like men with mustaches. Some women prefer men to not have a mustache, and so forth. Well, for you women out there, did you just get that same feeling when I said this? I'm going to say it again. Hold on. Inside the FBI, New York! Did you just feel that twitching sensation like you got to have that man right now? Because that's the way you're supposed to be feeling, people. Because this is in-your-face propaganda. And that's what it's supposed to do to you. It's supposed to tickle that private place. The series, Inside the FBI, New York, takes an in-depth look at the agency's operations in New York City, where the film crew spent a year between September 2015 and September 2016 filming the day-to-day activities of field agents and the Bureau's response to a number of terrorist attacks and national crises. Oh, what do they call that? Oh, here comes the predictive programming, people. Terrorist attacks and national crises, plural form. Now, remember, under continuity of government, COG, continuity of government, where the federal government can just declare a state of emergency and assume complete dictatorial powers over all the states, it doesn't require an actual attack by an enemy sovereign force. Remember, they changed the wording under Bush that all, under Obama, excuse me, they changed the wording under Obama that all it takes is a quote, national crisis. That's the exact wording that it was changed to, national crisis. And what was interesting is when you went to read on what was a national crisis, well, it is whatever the government says it is. Are you getting that twitching feeling too? Oh, let me help you get past it. I'll get you to feel a little excitement. Ready? Here it comes. Inside the FBI. New York! Yeah. You men, you're supposed to be wanting that woman feeling, getting that same feeling like you just looked at the perfect woman. And women, you're supposed to be getting that feeling like you just looked at the perfect man. Because that's what good propaganda is all about, isn't it? Ooh, getting them emotional juices flowing. The FBI chief concluded in July that Clinton was extremely careless with State Department emails, but did not recommend charges. Wow, he was very confused over what constitutes charging somebody, a chargeable offense, over just what was bad judgment. But it's not really, well, it's not really a chargeable offense. You know, like selling our uranium to the Russians, taking billions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation, which was supposed to be just for their library. Remember that? Keeping, well, classified emails on a private server, which they kept in a bathroom. You know, little bullshit like that. Then, 11 days before the election, James Comey announced the investigation had been reopened, with some Democrats being played believe played a big role in Clinton's stunning loss to Donald Trump. Yes, that's what it was. You know why they reopened it, people? Because James Comey, he wanted a bigger bribe. He wanted a bigger payoff to make sure that old Hillary Clinton would not be recommended for charges. You see, he went out cheap on the first round. I think what he said is, you know, I got buyer's remorse. I should have gotten a lot more for running nose guard for that little bitch. And so he reopened the case, and he got more, and then he closed the case. Comey has also faced criticism from Republicans for the FBI's investigation into alleged ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. I worry sometimes that people don't know us, said James Comey. Oh, here it comes, people. Now, if I had a viola section behind me, you know, a little orchestra, chamber orchestra music section, I would have them striking up the violins right now, playing that soft, melodic, tear-jerking type music. I worry sometimes that people don't know us, said Comey. We have to care what the people think of us because the faith and confidence of the American people is the bedrock that allowed us to believe, allowed us to be believed, and by being believed, to accomplish the good that they try to do in this country. So you see, people, it's not about the FBI actually holding treasonous pieces of garbage like Hillary Clinton or Eric Holder or Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi or any of these other communists. It's not holding them accountable for their treasonous conduct. No, no, it's about being believed. That's it, people. It's about belief. Like Tinkerbell. Remember what I told you about Tinkerbell? Oh, you know, I'm feeling so sad right now. I need my emotions recharged. So I'm going to say the name of this TV program that's coming to you again. Inside the FBI. New York. Yeah. You feeling charged up now? I am. Let's see what else this says. Among its many investigations, the FBI opened a probe into WikiLeaks' publication of confidential documents on the CIA, revealing the agency's hacking abilities known as Vault 7. The documents revealed the agency's global covert hacking program, including weaponized exploits used against company products including Apple's iPhone, Google's Android, and Microsoft's Windows, even Samsung TVs, which are turned into covert microphones. Now, let's make one little teeny tiny correction here, and you can find the funding for this to a CIA front organization called InQtel. The CIA essentially already owns and operates Apple, the Apple iPhone, Google, and Microsoft. So how can they hack their own business? The first episode of the FBI series will be shown on April 27th on USA Network. The show's release coincides with the filming of a six-part television series, Waco. Oh, there we go, people. How convenient. Covering the deadly standoff more than two decades ago between the government agents and the Branch Davidian spiritual sect in New Mexico. The show is scheduled to air in 2018. The 51-day standoff ended in a shootout in which four federal agents were killed. Oh, strike up the violin section, please. Please, oh, they're out on lunch. I wish they were here. I'd have them strike up those violins. Those poor four federal agents that were there murdering innocent men, women, and children. Oh, they got killed. Can't we do something about that? The 51-day standoff ended in a shootout in which four federal agents were killed along with 70 people inside the sex compound in Central Texas, according to AP, American Propaganda. And notice how they didn't call them men, women, and especially the children. You know, when they burned them alive? You remember that? Millions of Americans watch television coverage of the standoff. Agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm and Explosives showed up at the compound in late February 1993 trying to serve a search warrant for illegal stockpiles of weapons and explosives. They were greeted with gunfire. Oh, how dare them Branch Davidians. My God, I'm glad they were burned to death. They shot at our overlords because they were there illegally trying to serve them fake warrants. In the weeks that followed, federal authorities were worried about the children in the compound being abused. Yes, so they felt it was far better to burn them to death. Yes, that's much better. And the siege had ended on April 19th. Oh, there's that day, people. April 19th. Why does that date sound so familiar? I don't know. It'll come back to me. After an FBI negotiator asked over a loudspeaker for Koresh to lead his people out, military vehicles began ramming the buildings and spraying tear gas. A few hours later, flames were seen spreading through the compound. And they just have no idea how those flames got going. They just don't know, people. I'm feeling sad again. So I think I'm on an up note here. I'm going to say this, the title of this show, to help get me all aroused. You know, kind of like Zionist Jews watching people kill each other in a war zone. It's pornography for them. So you should feel aroused when I say this as we go off here. Inside the FBI, New York. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Henry, if you please.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
I don't care what you say. I go for
right. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and this is the Word from the Trenches. Our site is fromthetrenchesworldreport.com, but IPFET Patriot broadcast from the trenches. Tactical Report is a listener-sponsored program, and if you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, fromthetrenchesworldreport.com, and hit that donate button. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am your host for the Tactical Report, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:37 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:37 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was Audio Slave with Drown Me Slowly. All right, we were going into this ridiculous article here, which is over in RT, Russia Today, called FBI Hopes TV Series Will Make Americans Believe in Agency Again. And I told you how you're supposed to get all tingly, you know, like you're being sexually aroused as soon as you hear the series title, what they're going to call the series, Inside the FBI, New York. You know, it's not like the FBI doesn't exist anywhere else. They don't have any offices down there in Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, Georgia or Chicago or L.A. No, they pick New York because New York is the epitome of class, elegance, style, power, money, wealth. And, of course, it was the victim of those terrible, terrible terrorist attacks that the FBI helped cover up because, well, it was American hardware that did it. Anyway, that's it for me. So unless you got something ridiculous, I'm going to hand this back to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Outstanding report as always, J.D., and I particularly enjoyed your rant on the Republic. And, you know, I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer a couple of weeks ago, and I believe in Santa Claus again. I think that's about how far this bullshit with, what did you say that thing was called? The FBI? Inside the FBI?
Ooh, York. I'm all tingly when you say that, Henry. Stop. That's going to be the name of the series. The series is, the name of it is Inside the FBI, New York.
What a thought, Inside the FBI. So they're going to show the pedophile rings they're a part of and the crime wave that they are responsible for across the board?
I'm going to guess they're going to glance over that just by accident. They're going to neglect to mention those things. And, you know, like how they protect the communist infiltration in this country, because that's their job. That's what they do.
Well, and protect communists, right? That's their...
Now, remember, now, it didn't say to show what the FBI does. What it says is they just want people to believe.
And we've been looking at it from the sides, huh?
Yeah, from the sides.
From one side or the other. Which side are you on, John?
Well, I don't know. It didn't say one side or the other. It just said from the sides.
Maybe the idea is to get us to join a side.
Oh, you know, Henry, and I do believe you've mentioned that once or twice. They got to split us into a couple of camps, so you're in either in that camp or this camp or that side or this side.
Well, what they'll do is they'll show you the what's been uncovered about them, little glimpses of the communist side of it, and then they'll show you little glimpses of the national socialist side of it, and then they'll show them in the middle as the true patriots that are going to save us from all this evil.
Well, Henry, they're doing everything they can to protect this country from the terrible, terrible atrocities that would be committed upon us if the wrong people gotten here in this country and could do terrible things.
That would be a bummer. You know, when you were doing your rant on the Republic, and when you got to the tribal governments, that was tribal theocracies all run by the shaman. It would be a theocracy just for future reference if you're on.
Well, there's no difference between that and the Middle Ages when the church was running everything. It was a theocracy government.
It wasn't democracy.
No, it wasn't democracy. It was not.
You're talking about
a democracy in the entire history of this continent, going back to the beginning of the world. We have never been a democracy.
Never. You said it was an insult. I think it's an affront. I mean, it's the ultimate spit in your face because, I mean, democracy, 14th Amendment, I think you tried to turn it into one, but you did so without authority. It's all fraud, and we're going to have to, undo that, aren't we? You talked about Waco. The anniversary is coming up on the 18th. I mean, the 19th. As you know, the
Something else that happened on the 19th. What else was that, Henry?
There was Lexington.
Well, April 19th. Why does that ring a little tiny lead bell?
Yeah, it should. The bell made out of the lead from the first shot. The shot heard around the world, I think they called it.
That's
at Lexington
it.
And Concord, when the people actually rose up and were going to, you know, to stand for their rights, which they're just their basic natural rights that were going to be taken from them. And, you know, they come for the guns, their cannon, you know, their means of self-defense. And so so began the uprising that was hijacked 1 year later by the aristocrats who had been controlling the colonies. And, like, you know, Waco, you were talking about when they came in, you know, with the warrants, they came up in there and they just started shooting them people, man. That's why they had to take that. That's why that door, you know, the first thing they hauled that door away, because that door had all the bullet holes where they just walked up there and started firing on them people.
Well, Henry, what they forget to neglect is they did bring the warrants, but that was much later on when they had to cover up what they did.
Yep. Anyways, back to what we were talking about prior to the tactical report. We were talking about Trump's flip-flops, and the first one was, you know, the key campaign promises, and one of them is goodbye strong dollar and high interest rates.
Now Trump's, he's become quite the acrobat in a very short period of time, hasn't he?
Well, but it ain't flip-flopping, John. See what it is. Alex explained it all to me this morning.
Oh, well, if Alex explained it, let's hear it, Henry, please.
Well, see, what it is, you know, these were the things that he came into, he was going to get rid of. You know, you're talking about, you know, the interest rates, zero interest rates, you know, they're getting to the point, because of this economic boom caused by the Trumper, that they're going to inflate the dollar. Because what really happened here is he did such a good job that dollar started to rise so fast, it was going to hurt our economy. And so these people who are not getting any money, no interest on their money in the bank, you know, when you go to put your money in the bank in a savings account, you don't get none. You got to pay him to hold it for you. You see, they ain't going to get no money on their money. If you want to get play your money, you put it on the stock market and let them gamble, and you always lose, and it's gone. But the gambit here is, you know, here's your Wall Street buddies, man. They know their money ain't sitting in no American banks. And so what's it come down to? Well, they borrow money at zero interest. Is that really borrowing anything at zero interest? And then you pay it back at zero interest? Or is that giving free money to the 1% to go ahead and buy up the rest of the world just with digits in a goddamn computer? Anyway, in an announcement that rocked currency markets, Trump told the WSJ that the U.S. dollar is getting too strong. And he would prefer the Federal Reserve keep interest rates low. I do like a low interest rate policy. Well, yeah, you're one of the filthy elites that have been getting, I mean, why you can't, if you go to borrow money to get a house, you know, you're paying compound interest at about, 110%. You know, what would be called long sharking. But these guys, these billionaires, now there's a different standard. They just go directly to the Federal Reserve boards. The banking, the head of the banks in every state in the union, and they just, you know, they just get the money given to them. How would it be for an American national if you could just, you see, I think this is what was supposed to be for us. You know, they were supposed to mint that money, and they were supposed to set up, you know, like banks, government banks, where you go in and it's your money, it's your bank, it's your country, it's backed by you. So you go in and you get the money at zero interest so that you can go and engage in commerce and free enterprise and make your fortunes. But this has all been handed. They get the money for, it's like this, they get it for nothing. And then they get to turn around, these loan sharks, and loan it to you for, like I said, by the time you compound the interest and penalties over the lifetime of a loan, about 110% interest. No, of course Trump's, I mean, that was just some more of that. What do they call it? Campaign rhetoric? Campaign rhetoric. We'll see how deep the rhetoric goes. To be, I do like a low interest rate policy. I must be honest with you, Mr. Trump said.
As his nose went, whoop.
I think our dollar is getting too strong, and partially that's my fault. God, listen to this. Alex went with this.
He's been in office, what, 69 days now?
Well, hell yes, man. But goddamn, you can feel the boom all around you, John. I mean, I've been turning money away left and right.
Oh, I feel something, Henry.
I think that's my fault. Yeah, and it hurts because people have confidence in me. But that's hurting But that's hurting, Slash. That will hurt, ultimately, he added. Look,
well,
there's...
That's what Operation H is for.
Yeah, and it does hurt. Look, there's some very good things about a strong dollar. But usually speaking, the best thing about it is that it sounds good. Oh, it might sound good to you if you goddamn, if, you know, the interest rates went up and you actually had some money you worked for, not like these Steven bastards, you actually went out and sweated for in the bank, and you might get a dollar's interest from the Jew who takes that bank and that money. As soon as he gets that money in the bank, he leverages it 10 times. It's worth nothing when you put it in. When it gives in his hands, it's worth $100 in leverage, and then he lends it to the next son of a bitch up the scale of the fraud, and then he leverages it another 20 times, and then they put it into real estate and leverage it another 100 times, and the next thing you know, it's all backed by a bunch of loans that they know are no good, and your regulation agencies rate, you know, they rate them AAA derivatives, and they put them in your 401k. You know, you're out there sweating your ass off, you're creating product, you're making a goddamn, you know, making your own way in the world, and you're putting a little money in your 401k, and they come and that's we got to take that from you. Yeah, actually, those weren't AAA bonds as required by law. They were actually junk bonds dumped by the big international banks into your 401k to take your money from you that you actually earned, these Steven sons of bitches. And Trump's one of them. And goddamn all of you to hell that went along with this bullshit, because, I mean, at least we could have been fighting by now. We wouldn't be playing these frickin' games like Alex Jones. The Zionist shill. I'm telling you what, he ought to be added to BDS. Because if he isn't working for Israel, I don't know who is. Trump then said one thing that every other currency manipulator realizes all too well. It's very, very hard to compete when you have a strong dollar and other countries are devaluing their currency on a country run on debt. I guess that would make sense. You want negatives, not positives, right, John? Because debt is wealth, right? Am I missing something here?
No, you got the Orwellian speak down very well.
During his campaign, Trump had repeatedly said that a strong dollar, in quotation marks, this is the carnival barker who lied right in your face, now is turning around and make it look like it was an okay lie, because this is why he lied to you, and it's really, this is what we really wanted all along. That's why I lied to you, so you'd vote to me for me to do this, and I was going to do the other thing, but it's okay, I'm Trump, and we're going to, hey, make America great. Jobs. A strong dollar policy would be beneficial for the U.S. economy, despite our repeat warnings that he will inevitably reverse on this, especially if and when the Goldman circle of advisors starts providing micro economic advice. Yeah. So, I mean, who is that guy? Who is that guy? Mnuchin. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steve Mnuchin. Was it Steve? Is that his right name, John? Steve? I know it's Mnuchin.
It sounds familiar. Actually, I think I got his name written here. Give me a second. Go ahead.
Anyway. Goldman Sachs. You know, when we were talking about your 401k getting stolen from you, the sweat of your brow, he's the son of a bitch that took it. Head CEO for Goldman Sachs that did all of those things I told you about in that banking scam. And now... You know, somebody's talking about raising interest rates, so you would get maybe 30 cents in your bank account extra at the end of the month because you have a $500,000 in there. And, no. You don't get anything. But when you put your money in the bank, man, it's theirs, and they get everything. They get all the benefit of your wealth. And you
It was Steven Mnuchin.
Steven Mnuchin. And we got old Wilbur Ross, and I mean, the bankruptcy and the fire sale, I think, are going ahead as according to plan. Let's see, labeling China a currency manipulator. Okay.
Yes, we don't do that, Henry.
Well, you know, this was one of Trump's big deals, wasn't it? He's going to straighten China's goddamn dink asses out, wasn't he?
Well, if I remember right, one of the comments he made in one of his last presidential debates. Remember when he was a presumptive presidential candidate? He also had said to Hillary Clinton, if I was president, you'd be in jail.
Oh, he's going to put her in jail. Really, he is someday, maybe. Trump also told the Wall Street Journal that China is not artificially deflating the value of its currency. How many times? I mean, it's like Obama saying, oh, I don't have the authority to write an executive order for amnesty 25 times and then turn around and writing an executive order for amnesty. Huh. It's almost like the same thing happening over and over again. It's almost like insanity. A big change after he repeatedly pledged during his campaign to label the country a currency manipulator. They're not currency manipulators. This is a quote, the president said, adding that China hasn't been manipulating its currency for months. And that he feared...
At least months, man.
And ever since he was smiling over there at me and we were cutting up the world... And that he feared derailing U.S.-China talks to crack down on North Korea. So, of course, we got to keep on taking it up the ass, and we got to keep handing our resources and selling our country over to China. Because we don't want to mess up those North Korean talks, where we're talking about handing North Korea over to the Chinese. Trump routinely criticized President Obama for not labeling China a currency manipulator. And promised during the campaign to do so on day one of his administration. Now, but that ain't a lie. Turning around and doing the opposite, that ain't a lie. You know what happened, John? Alex told me this morning.
Oh, well, would you please share those pearls of wisdom from that sage?
What happened is Chinese premier Xi Zai. He became Trump's bitch. And so, Trump's got it under complete control. And he stopped the currency manipulation. And as a part of the deal, getting him to take care of Korea for him. Because he is a wily fox. Otherwise, bullshit.
Oh, I was going to say. I was waiting for the little drum section.
You were waiting for something. I was too. I was waiting for something too, but that's where Alex stopped. Trump's declaration also means that Peter Navarro may as well pack his bags, as the Goldman Economic Advisor team has now won its contest with Bannon Nationalist Circle. So I guess we're going straight on communism for here on out. We're not even going to do the fascist thing. This communism thing works pretty good if you're the people controlling it. And, if you guys will submit to the control of the Masonic Dirty Church, which is the power in this country and absolutely swear allegiance to us, this communism thing, it's a pretty good control mechanism. And we got a lot of people out of control in this country that we got to get back into control. And I think it's going to take some communist tactics. It's like you said yesterday, John, Goebbels learned his trade from the communists. They're the best at controlling and murdering people, better than all the rest at murdering.
One of the rules of success is find somebody who has already done it, not the one who did it well, but the one who did it the best, and simply repeat what they did.
It makes sense.
And Goebbels, who did Goebbels look to? Well, he looked at the Zionist Jews.
They're the masters.
They're the masters.
And then we go to Janet Yellen. Yellen's future. Oh, that dirty head of this Federal Reserve. I mean, do you think Trump knows what the Federal Reserve is? Do you think that he knows that it's a running violation of the founding articles of this country, that it's completely illegal, that it is foreign, and that it has taken over the whole economy of this country? You think he knows that?
It is, by definition, a terrorist organization here on American soil.
Absolutely, by definition. Trump also told the Journal he'd consider renominating Yellen to chair the Fed's
board.
Yeah, he's with the people. He's one of us, guys.
But she's not a Zionist just because she's a Jew and appointed Fisher as her second in command, the former head of the Israeli bank.
John, don't get conspiratorial on me, man.
Oh, no, that's on his job resume. There's no conspiracy about that. That's some simple facts.
Oh, another job resume?
Another job resume.
Man, these sons of bitches. Yellen to chair the Fed's board of governors after attacking her during the campaign. I like her. I respect her. What did he say about Hillary after, he's going to have her put in jail? And then after the election, what did he say, John? I like her.
That's right, yeah.
I respect her. This country owes Hillary Clinton a lot. That's what that son of a bitch said. Wasn't that enough to let you know he was that there was no difference here, people? He said that. I'm here to tell you. Import-export bank. Trump also voiced support behind the export-import bank, which helps subsidize some U.S. exports after opposing it during the campaign. Subsidize. I wonder who, I mean, that's probably just some poor people in Arkansas they're subsidizing, right, John?
Yeah, it's got to be, Henry. It has to, or Tennessee.
Maybe Tennessee. It turns out that, first of all, lots of small companies are really helped. The vendor companies, Trump told the Journal. Instinctively, you would say, it isn't a ridiculous thing, but actually, it's a very good thing. And it actually makes money. It could make a lot of money.
What, the import-export bank? What?
What are you guys getting all upset about? Remember this line? Read my lips. No new sis.
No, we're just laughing at him, Flea. I mean, even Alex coming up and trying to spin this around until it was anything but the god blatant ass facts in your face it was amazing. I mean, you talk about shining as a shill he was, and then jumping in there with that Easter cell. I mean, goddamn, if you people are believing him, you think you got away from the mainstream by listening to Alex Jones, you're clear out of your goddamn tree. You are retards. Yellen's future, what, export bank? It's a good thing. I didn't mean it when I told you it was a bad thing and they're robbing you blind. It's a bunch of rich people taking advantage of you. I didn't mean that on the campaign trail. But Trump's figured out a way to straighten it out. That's what it is, John. He's figured out a way to straighten out and make it work. So we got to go. We've got to back him. Got to back Trump. No, we won't.
Jobs.
Jobs. I almost forgot. Jobs.
Whenever someone starts questioning what you're doing, jobs.
Jobs. That'll work, man. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, hey, jobs. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Jobs.